And we're live.
Bad coding.
Hello, world.
Font kerning none.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 507. Is that right?
It might be, depending on what base you're using.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. It's hard to keep track of things.
Episode 202. We are Shayless.
We are Shayless. I found a picture of the internet of old Andy. I forgot to share it with the podcast. What? I was looking up some
on my phone.
I just found an old Andy. It was just a picture of you if you were older.
Yeah, not an old picture of Andy, but a picture of old Andy.
Like future Andy.
Future Andy.
Because past Andy just doesn't have a beard.
Yeah, future Andy's beard was just that, but slightly bigger.
Or it was a crossbreed of you and... was it Dallas Kemp? It looked like somebody.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, if I shaved my head?
Yeah, there we go.
That's probably going to happen eventually. It's
going to
happen
soon. It's taking care of itself.
Yeah, it's my hair is just slowly going away.
That happens. I mean, you know, I wish my hair would go away, to be honest. What are you doing?
It's been bugging me for 3 weeks.
Oh, it's like suddenly got up to do shenanigans. We're like, what's happening? Nathan's moving. Everybody panic.
There.
Everybody fixed panic. It. Science. Hello. What is our podcast about this week? My name's Brian Zappity Grumble.
My name's Nathan. We should talk about the 5-5 game because that was a really cool game.
So,
my name is Andy.
She got boned.
What?
Nathan finished season one of The Genius. And him and Raylene round out. I took when I watched season one, because it was subtitled, I would watch about an episode. The first 6 weeks, I watched one a week. And then the last 5 or 6, I watched over the course of a week, because you get more sucked in.
We watched 2 or 3 episodes per day.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could watch it.
I watched season two in about a week.
Because I really want to do other things at the same time, and subtitle shows like
yeah,
can't.
I mean, and that is a challenge with the show. But you literally are just forced into watching the show. The good news is the show is amazing, so it works out in your favor.
Yep.
But it's not only is it subtitled, but it's heavily dialogue driven as far as like logic puzzles and stuff. So it's like you got to like focus heavily, because there's some subtitle shows you can like look away for a second or two, come back, and you still get the idea. She's naked, I get it, I don't need to know why she's naked, you know.
Right.
But this is all about like what's actually happening.
Yeah. I need to Google and see if there's an explanation, because one thing happened in the 5-5 game that I didn't get, because when your spirit animal's all running around in the second phase,
yeah,
he ran in and he slipped a note in the pocket of one of the guests.
Okay.
And they never mentioned that. And I thought he was gonna say, you know, I gave you a note, you know, 5-5,
sure.
A la the Jinho thing, which I had told Raylene. I'm like, I would high-five 5 of them.
Yeah.
I would, you know. But, yeah, that note, whatever came up. So he was just randomly giving notes to guests.
Yeah, the big thing, well, the spirit, one of the, I like one of the people from season one a lot, so I just referred him as my spirit animal, because he was just very mischievous. He was able to read people very well. He just did a lot of stuff that I really, really liked. And he's a K-pop singer. He's an older, I haven't been able to find his music, but that's okay. I'll look at it more.
He also, I don't know if it was, it's from illegal gambling, I think, that he got a bunch of, like, his wages garnished. Like,
yeah, he lost.
That was a running joke, his wage garnished. And they even mentioned, because when spoiler, he doesn't win it, but they mentioned that he had put his wage garnishments on hold because he was going to use his winnings from the Genius to help pay off his gambling debts.
So the 5-5 game is they bring 10 strangers into the room, because it was down to the last 3 contestants. Was it 10 people?
The important thing is that they're about to get an explanation of the game.
Sure.
The players did not.
Correct.
The players were just told, go.
Well, they gave them, well, first they gave them, I said, here are 10 new people. Talk to them for like 15 minutes.
An hour. They got an hour.
They got
the
an
first
hour
time.
To talk. And then they did stage one. They did stage one based on no information. Then stage two.
They got 10 minutes.
They got 10 minutes to
doing.
Gather information. And then the difference between stage one and stage two is amazing.
But the game was, there are the 10 guests, and this would be a cool party game if, you know, to not tell people what they were doing, because that was great. They gave the players an hour and just said, talk to them. Figure stuff out. Learn about them. And then they played round one of the game, which was they had to take turns, and they didn't get to see what the other people did. But they came out and they asked 3 questions of the guests.
Okay.
And they wanted to get – they were all yes-no questions. Well, they were true-false statements.
Sure, sure.
And they wanted 5 trues and 5 falses.
Okay.
And that got them a point. If it split in any other ratio, it did not get them a point. So they didn't know why they were gathering info for the first. So they were doing all this pointless shit, like, where are you from, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, it really was questions like, one of the questions the guy did was, my knees are currently visible. Because he just looked at the people sitting there. He's like, ah, five of the girls are wearing skirts. I got this. But yeah, so they got an hour with no clue what they're doing. Then they asked three questions. Then they got 10 minutes knowing how the game worked. And then they got five more questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Raylene during those 10 minutes, I would be gaming the shit out of that thing. The example I gave was I would high-five five of them. You know, I would hug five of them. And then you can go back in and say, I high-five Nathan. 5 out of 10. Boom.
Yeah, which is, yeah. So, I mean, again, in every episode, it's, I mean, and the thing is they design the game to be gamed out of. And sometimes it's a matter, like, one of the games is about playing these cards and trying to get a high number. People are trying to find the best way to do it. And there's actually a couple of gimmicks that was let some certain player game it more than others. So it's kind of a fun little system. Season 2 is great. I will watch Season 3 soon.
Well, because every game, like you said, every game was about gaming the game.
Yeah.
Like, even one of the eliminations they get games they did multiple times was playing Rock, Scissors, Paper, but not against each other. Whoa.
Okay.
Brightness.
Decided to make it a little brighter.
They called it the Winning Streak game, where the two people who were up for elimination took turns playing Rock, Scissors, Paper against all the other people, and whoever got the most wins in a row stayed. Mm-hmm. But both times, the people who were playing just told their opponent, I'm going to throw rock. So it became a social game. Like, they got like 10, 15 minutes before the game started to go and talk to people and plead their case for letting me stay on the show. So it actually, instead of being rock, scissors, paper, became more like just a vote, you know, with the people. All right, you're doing rock. I'll do paper if I want to get you out. I'll do scissors if I want you to stay. Because, again, the point wasn't to play the games correctly. The point was to game the shit out of the games.
Sure.
And a lot of the games, I mean, that's all about trust. And even the other games, half the system was like, if there were seven people left, if four of them worked together, they could guarantee their side would work. But then the other three would see the other four and then try to find a way to switch one of them to be their four. So it was this constant back and forth of shenaniganry. That's like 90% of the show right there. And some, like I said, because it's all, you still get the personalities, because a lot of these people do a lot of South Korean TV shows and do a lot of competition shows. So you still get a lot of shenaniganry occurring during all that, which is great.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. Because it's not scripted. Like, it actually was, you know, legit people playing the games. And there was a twist in every episode, which was really nice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of times the game would go really clear, but not as clear as you would think. You know, like the election one. Like, it should have been 8-4 one way, and then it was 4-8 the other way with no goddamn explanation at all until they kind of rewound things.
Well, and too, and the way they edit the show is you go on, and, like, if there's some betrayal going on, the show won't let the viewer know for a little bit, so you're kind of along for the ride, so you think the shit's going down, and then suddenly, like, they quit and go 10, 15 minutes later, and then the show is some, like, side deal that no one knew about, or some guy's like, I'm going to screw that guy because he looked at me funny.
That's standard reality TV type.
But they do a good job with it, and then of explaining after the fact what happened. Because, like I said, the election one, it was literally, there was, like, 12 people, and 10 of them are like, we're going to vote for person A, and then they reveal the results, and person A lost, like, 3-9. It's like, what? Like, and then they rewind and show you, and it's all exciting. Point is, watch that.
Yeah.
Watch it, motherfuckers.
If you don't want to have to pay attention to it, if you want it on this background noise, you can. You just have to learn Korean first.
Yeah, I mean, learn Korean. Well, you still have to watch a little bit to see some of the shenaniganry. Because there are some subtle, like, handing back and forth of things or just some nods.
Eye glances.
Yeah. There is no paper, rock, scissors. Like, I don't think any, I think they only repeat, like, one elimination game once, and there's no, like, paper, rock, scissors. A lot of them still have player interaction. Like, they don't do that weird game with the things jumping over each other. They don't do that anymore. Sure. And I think they repeat one game twice. Otherwise, it's pretty much all unique stuff all along the way.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I could actually watch it. I'd have to. I mean, I could barely dedicate. I don't dedicate enough time in my life to watch Legion, and that's a show I feel like I cannot. I have to give it my attention.
And Legion also requires a focus because it's such a visual thing, and there's like subtle things going on. So.
The characters from Legion need to play the genius game. Also, I'd say, like, Korea flies under our radar. Like, we all focus on North Korea and all that stuff, but, like, South Korea, as far as, like, a cultural source, Americans don't tap well enough, I don't think. Because we're all about Japan, and you got the animes and the samurais and the whatnot, and Japan.
Oh, I definitely... You know,
I think K-pop is starting to...
Like, people are familiar with the concept of K-pop, but I don't know how much Americans really listen to K-pop. I don't know. I just feel like Korea is like a really cool country that Americans don't focus enough on. We focus on China and North Korea because they're scary, and Japan because they have the animes.
I agree. I do think there's some of it, but I do think I do think after watching this show, I'm like, you know what? I need to give Korea more attention too. It just seems like a thing that should be happening.
Yeah, you at least watch the Korean horror movies.
Yeah, I watch like a Korean horror movie. Yeah,
Train to Busan.
Correct. So we're gonna learn Korean and become a career. We're gonna pull in the Korean crowd for Crippled System. That's gonna be our foreign. And we can meet some people. We can travel to Korea and stay at their homes and just have a nice simple trip.
Call Justice. I assume he's Korean.
Well, just yeah.
No.
There you go.
That was a joke. I'm not really that racist.
And they play some of the K-pop every so often during the show just to make fun of one of the characters. I'm like, that's amazing stuff. Like, yeah. I love K-pop. That's really a thing that I've discovered.
I did find a YouTube playlist that's all the music from the show.
Oh, yeah, and I have downloaded a lot. Most of it is on my Amazon playlist. Extreme Ways is definitely a song that I play a lot, which is ridiculous. It's just like a random song that was put in like a Bourne Identity movie.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good shit, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they have like a random song from Pacific Rim is one of their background music sometimes.
What Tim told me in later seasons, they talk about, they're like, man, I hope what I just did was worthy of an Extreme Ways song or whatever. Because they know that particular song is played when someone does something exceptionally clever. So they try to call it. I haven't seen that happen yet, but he said that it happens in the late seasons.
You didn't tell me about then they flash forward an hour and it's just a guy laying on the ground staring at the ceiling, just broken.
Usually the show starts, they fast forward 2 hours and it's like it's usually people arguing or some big things about to happen. You can't tell what because it would ruin it, but there's always something. And like one episode, season two, it just flash forwards and a guy's just lying on the ground broken. Just no dialogue, just him just lying there looking up like he was just defeated by everybody, and it's just hilarious and goes back in time. And
that's completely just standard
they don't do the reality flash television forward a lot on reality TV.
Yeah, it's not as much.
Some of the ones I've watched has that.
They mess with the editing of the live, but I don't see the forward and the backward as much.
Before commercial breaks, they'll flash forward to what's going to happen after the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
But this like flashes way forward and then flashes right back to where you were and then continues a lot more.
It's the same methods, but it's strewn about.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's edited fairly well, though.
Yeah, my brother and Rick were saying the editing was terrible, and they're insane. The editing is perfect.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it needs to be.
I love in season one the relationship between Sangin, or is it Sangin? Yeah. And the younger K-pop star.
Yeah.
There's just such a. They never get. And even though the show, like.
It was Chainbok or whatever? Yeah. The other young guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind of build up where you think these people might go against each other later on because they know they're messing with you, but it doesn't like always go that way. It plays out because they do film it either because it airs usually within the week of episode.
And they talk a few times in season one about watching the previous episode before coming to film. So it airs right away.
Yeah.
Like they have seen the previous week before they play
They're like, you son of a bitch, you tricked me last week. But it also means when usually at the end of the show, they'll say, hey, by the way, I tricked you, so they don't, you know. Everyone's very honest about their deception when it's over, which is kind of refreshing.
It is hilarious to see, because Asian cultures tend to be very
honor-oriented.
And so it's hilarious to seeing these people, like, stab each other in the back and then apologize and bow and beg for forgiveness after the game's over.
Yeah. God, that show is like crack, though, to me.
Yeah, I'll have watched season two by Thursday.
I want to talk to you about season two a lot.
Sounds good.
I did look at the cast for season three, and I was like, well, these people seem interesting, but they didn't pop to me as much as season one or two cast, but doesn't mean that after they get into the game.
Right. Well, like, because I didn't know. It's not like I'm familiar with Korean celebrities, so I didn't know anybody in season one. But then, Gura's my new favorite person ever. As the final three were three. Just I loved all three of them for their own reasons. Once it got to the penultimate episode, I'm like, I don't know who I want gone. I love all three of you.
They did a good job. Well, watching people like play games like that well is just very fun to watch.
A lot of people. It was a few years ago that video of the one British guy on the Golden Balls show. Yeah. Do you remember that? It was like kind of a viral thing.
Was it called the Golden Ball Show? because I would have watched.
The show is literally called Golden Balls.
All right.
It is just the in America we had the same game and it was called Friend or Foe.
Okay.
Like where this team of two people does a bunch of trivia to build up a cash prize pool, and then at the end of the show they sit down and they do the Friend or Foe.
Yeah.
Right. And if they both say Foe, the money's burned.
Yeah.
If one says Friend and the other says Foe, the guy who said Friend gets all the money, and if they both say Friend, they split it evenly. Yeah. So it's the prisoner dilemma.
And you talked about the one guy.
Yeah, He literally went out there and he just said, "Hey, I'm going to say Foe. I'm going to fuck you over."
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, the genius is just that for 12 episodes.
Yeah, with So I can talk about that forever. But
so announcements.
Andy recommendations. Saw Wonder Woman.
No announcements.
Andy saw Wonder Woman. That's
an announcement. That's an announcement.
We have an event next week.
Is it next week already?
Yeah, it's this upcoming weekend.
The Shays won't be here next week. They're going to be off at a wedding.
Yeah,
and I will be at the Shays' house watching their dogs.
You're not going to be here?
Bring the dogs.
I mean, I'll be here on Sunday, but I won't be at the tournament because I'm watching dogs.
But yeah, we have our last call for the donate your Frankenstein charity event. Got a lot of folks that seemed interested in playing in it. It's a event where you bring a, did I say 50 point or 75 point list?
So some number of points. It'll be a surprise to everyone who shows up.
It's on the website.
It's a 75 points. No theme forces. Basically, you could put anything into your list. Anything that you put into your list will be added on points wise to your entry fee. So if you're going to add in, let's say
anything that's not in your faction,
So like if you're going to add an Earthbreaker to your list, that's $38 plus your entry fee. Food will be provided for the event. That's so nice. I'll be cooking out for folks.
People like free food.
Yeah. You know, well, it's kind of free. Your entry fee is going into the food cost.
Sure.
And then I also have some sponsors as well. I have Muse on Minis, Tectonic Craft Studios, and I don't know if he actually has a studio, but he's the guy who makes all those really cool weapons. You've seen the Pillars of Halak. Seen Lola. Yeah.
Hand of God.
The Hand of God.
That's some really nice stuff.
He said he's working on a Grimkin one, but he wouldn't reveal what it was.
Yeah, I guess it's being released at Lock and Load. Yeah. He's bringing it to Lock and Load. But he donated to Aaron Gordon Broughton, I believe. I should have the name up before I even talked about it. But he donated two really, really nice dice trays.
Nice. Dice trays are great. It's always when I sit down and my opponent has a dice tray, I'm just happier. I'm like, you know what? Less shenanigans are going to occur because it's a dice tray. It's a nice, relaxing thing.
I need two of them, so I might. I'm
I
not
do
keep
like what Jay Larson did. He did the two, one on one side, one, and he would roll. Like you just knew what was going on. He just had the two nice corners.
I found when I had my dice tray, I got a really cool one from Robert Dersky. I ended up rolling dice into it, but then I want to go to the next one, but I want to leave my dice on the table for my opponent to record.
Well, yeah, because you literally can roll your attack on one and damage on the other. Then they're like, well, what did you roll to hit? Well, that's to the left, my damage to the right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, screw you, ha-ha, everything's still dire.
Yep.
Yeah, I tend to like to leave the dice on the table longer. Just for so if there's a question, like as I told my opponent, I was like, I did 13 to the 6.
Yeah.
And then he's like, wait, what was that?
Well, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's right there. It's still on the table.
Yep. So like Brian said, having the two separate ones makes it even easier because you can leave the to hit roll even when you move on to the damage.
What you need is like a whole secondary tray. So you keep rolling, then you put the dice, or you put it, then you put the, move the dice tray to the side table. And then over the course of the game, you need like 15 dice trays.
I need a series of 15 dice trays. Yeah.
Like 15 people just holding them for you. Like you have a whole.
A dice tray for each die roll you ever make. And those dice you never roll again. So you need like 700 dice for your game.
When the event's over, you auction them off to the peasants.
Well, I guess you can use them after the game's over.
The point is,
you log everything.
You set them all on fire. So I was, random tangent, I was playing Heroes of the Storm today for a few hours. I have a stupid event where, you might want to do this, if you play 15 games with Diablo characters, you unlock wings in the game Diablo.
Oh, yes.
Wings please. But you have to play with friends, so you have to get friends. But wings are the best thing in Diablo. For whatever reason, it's just I have one set of wings from something else I did, but I want more wings because wings are the best.
Raylene is furious at me because she has one pet, and for some reason, like 2 weeks ago, like I went from one pet to seven pets.
Okay.
Like, pets just rain from the heavens every run I did. So now every one of my characters has their own pet, because I'm like, only a peasant would use a pet, you know, for more than one character, and she's really angry about it.
So you can get wings and just send her off the deep end.
Yeah.
Because
if
you loved it with wings, what would she do to you besides stab you? I mean, that'd be the initial.
Yeah. Because the only wings we have now are, we both have them because they were wings that you got automatically for basic things. Like, I have the mercy wings from some reason. I don't even know why I have mercy
you
wings.
Probably logged into Overwatch.
Yeah. Like something simple like that. Sure. Yeah. So I have that. So, but more wings for stuff
more
like that
wings are great. So you can just pop up wings.
I see the new gameplay mode for Diablo 3 that they're rolling out.
No.
The challenge rifts. You guys didn't see
I saw challenge rifts. I didn't actually. I haven't played Diablo. I only usually play during seasons, and I think I skipped the entire last season.
I've been playing about every other. I'm going to play. I mean, like everyone, when the Necromancer comes out, they should just be like, okay, season X, the season of Necromancers, where every single. It's like,
every character is a Necromancer.
It's all it's going to be.
I wasn't aware of how. I knew I'd been playing Diablo 3 a lot more recently than I had been, but. My season, this season, which is what, like 2.5 months?
Well, this is your first season, too. So
I played previous seasons.
Oh, I thought,
this was the first, you're right. This is the first one on the PlayStation. Yeah. So I guess this statistic is PlayStation specific, because I have the PC ones as well.
You can play with Raleen in this season, right?
Yeah, and we can, her son and his fiance are going to be moving in with us for a while. And it's four player same screen, so the four of us will just play Diablo, because they played any. Anyway, the point is, this season, my Paragon level for this season character is higher than my Paragon level all time previously. So that shows how insane I've been recently.
I usually get a season character the 500-600 Paragons, and then that's I tap her off.
Yeah. But then when the season's over, all that Paragon experience gets rolled into your normal characters.
I don't consider outside of seasons, I find the game boring.
And that's fine, but the levels are still there. Oh, and it still shows playtime.
And it's the mail, your mailbox is just like, filtered. I'm like, I guess it's just all, some of it just rots.
Let me explain challenge rifts, because you guys might find this interesting. Because there's no reason to play non-season, because it's just like, oh, look, and whatever. It's grinding.
Other than if you were playing for the story, and that's...
As I said, no reason to play non-season.
No. I mean, when you first sit down and start playing Diablo, you're going to play it through the storyline, at least for once.
That's true.
Maybe. Even that's probably a waste of your time.
It's like watching season one of Parks and Rec, like... If somebody tells
Diablo
you not to bother,
fine.
It's
fine.
It is
when they
fine.
Add Mathil, is actually not too bad.
It's not. Mostly, it's season two that stumbles because Belial is the lamest villain
on Parks and Rec.
Yes, Belial on Parks and Rec would have been amazing. Just like a cubicle in the corner. Anyway,
just like Asmodan. Just
what challenge rifts are going to be? Is they are going to? I don't know if it's completely randomly or if they have somebody that's going to pick and choose. But the point is. For some X period of time, it might be weekly or whatever.
Does Belial work with Jim, or is he more of which person is he
helping? You're talking about The Office.
Dwight was Belial the whole time.
No, I just went Blight. I'm just thinking of him in The Office now.
Yeah, Blight?
Blight. Yeah, Blight. Belial and Blight. That would be their couple name.
Did you guys watch the Legend of Neil?
No.
It was like a web series like a decade or so ago. It was this guy gets transported into The Legend of Zelda. So he's the character of Link, but he's from our world, so he's familiar with video game
Zelda.
Logic and stuff. Felicia Day was the fairy. But anyway, they had a parody of The Office in that with Ganon and all of his minions and stuff.
Sure.
And it was amazing. Anyway, challenge rifts are going to consist of...
I am very interested in challenge rifts. I swear to God, I am.
You're busy killing a Rancor.
I'm multitasking.
They're going to pick a random player, like a random character from their entire server thing. That has run a rift. So you run a rift, and let's say this happens to you, Andy. You run a rift with your necromancer, and he's wearing whatever gear, and they go yoink, and they put that character with that exact gear and whatever skills you were using, and you're not allowed to change the gear or change the skills, and for a month or however long, everybody can play as that character through that exact rift with the same map layout, the same mobs, the same shrines, nothing random, set in stone to try to beat each other's scores.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool.
I mean, so of your friends.
It's just everybody. They just post it up on the...
Just of your friends or just anybody?
Everybody in the world. Okay. They say, this month's challenge rift is Neil the Necromancer, that Andy Welton ran this rift, and here's the time he got, and everybody tries to do the rift faster, you know, and whatever.
Interesting.
So if they manage to beat your score, they get loot.
Okay. I was going to say, well, if they choose me, then they're going to... they're going to win every rift.
Sure.
I wonder,
will it be like half the rift would be like sitting there. Is there a ghost then showing in that rift too? Because that would be great. Because it would be like,
if they show the,
I log into the rift and then like for the first like 2 minutes of the rift, I'm just sitting there just staring at like Judge Judy or something like that, some kind of show on the television, and then I run the rift.
Did they say are there going to be like multiple challenges, or it'll be like just one a month, or there'll be like a couple?
I don't recall that detail. Sure. But the concept is out there.
Yeah.
You know, and there'll be a scoreboard so you can see other people's times and, you know, brag to your friends that you finished it faster than them and stuff. And that's neat because it's fresh.
Yeah.
Right? Because not only will it be a new thing, but they're talking about they're not going to grab people who are running complete sets.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to grab somebody who, you know, is level 57 and has 4 random legendaries and 3 blue items because they haven't found anything good yet. And that's the shit you're going to use.
Yeah.
And they said it'll be neat because it'll encourage you, and the skills as well. Maybe this guy just really likes some skill that people say isn't that good. All right, well, make it work.
Yeah.
Be better than everybody else.
Because he made it work skill.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's kind of neat. I mean, that's a neat idea. I mean, when a new season comes out, every other season-ish, I will go hardcore on Diablo for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And then, you know, it's like if a Diablo season comes out and it's not around another major game release, like if Shadows of Mordor, when Shadows of War comes out, if there's a Diablo season the same within 2 weeks, then I'm not going to touch the Diablo season. But if this Diablo season comes out and there's no major release, because I mean, I bought Diablo, I like it, and it's free, so I can just jump into these things, you know, and just do them.
Yeah, the fact that they're still making content for that game with there's no microtransactions, there's all you got is the $60 box set and then maybe the $40
expansion.
And
because it keeps you in the Blizzard window, so then you're, you know, because you're gonna log, maybe you're gonna, after you're done, you're bored with that, your friends want to do some Overwatch or they want to do some Heroes, and then you're playing Heroes, you get the wings, and then suddenly you go, that character's cool, and you buy this little thing, so you're still, because of all their synergy between their games, they can suck you in sideways.
You know how many wings I got, Nathan?
A lot.
I got a lot of wings.
Yeah.
I've got. You got some for StarCraft.
You reactively bought like the Warcraft or the Diablo 2 box after you already
StarCraft.
Had like, the StarCraft box after you had like one or two.
Yeah, I actually had two of the collector's editions. Yeah. I had the collector's edition for the second, for the Swarm, and then for the Protoss.
Sure.
And then they offered it as a bundle, and I bought the whole thing again. So I technically had like two extra copies of the Swarm.
I almost bought that same bundle, and I had one of the three because I wanted one of the wings really bad, but I came to a moment of weird clarity where I'm like, I don't need that.
I did that with a board game like 2 weeks ago because I wanted the expansion that was out of print for a board game, and I found the board game with the expansion on eBay, so I just bought a second copy because it included the expansion.
Yeah. But when things are out of print, you have to do things like that sometimes.
So I heard that Blizzard is hiring on new people to help redo some of their old games.
Marshall and I came up with a great idea, by the way, for Diablo.
Sure.
Well, for Heroes of the Storm. Okay. They need to make human Tyrael, a playable character in Heroes of the Storm, and he just needs to be constantly making that tum-tum hurt speech. So, and it just gets louder the closer he is to you, so people will just like abandon lanes because they don't want to listen to that fucking story about his stomach hurting. And he'll drop things like creep, like Zagara drops, but they'll just be loudspeakers that just play that over him so that he can keep people away from strategic areas because they don't want to hear that fucking speech. And they can't just mute it because they have to communicate with their friends, you know, over Audible or whatever.
Somebody posted it. It was the guys who do the Carbot animations.
Yeah.
Who posted a, like, a what if Decker Kane was a character in Heroes of the Storm. Very entertaining. But Decker Kane would also be... I'm surprised that Medivh is even a character in Heroes of the Storm. And if they could do Medivh, they could do Decker Kane.
Yeah.
He's an old man.
They added a new character to Heroes this last week. I don't know who he is.
Malthael?
Yeah.
He's the god of death.
He's the literally last... the villain in the entire expansion pack for Diablo 3.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fair enough.
So you haven't played the story then?
I did.
Diablo, or you haven't done literally 1,000 bounty runs.
No, I thought he was a Diablo character. I said, this looks like this. Isn't this the Diablo villain? And someone's like, no, he's from Warcraft. I'm like, I think that's confusing to me because they're doing a Diablo event. And that guy looks like that Diablo villain. But you said he's a Warcraft guy. I don't understand anything anymore about
that
life.
That person lied to you.
Yeah, I
was half paying attention at the time. So he may have said, yes, you're right. And I heard, no, you're wrong. So, I mean, it could have been me, but I'm like, I thought, yeah, so. Anyway, I should listen to people more. Someone in the chat mentions that the new Shadows of Mordor game looks amazing, and you're right. I'm taking 3 vacation days when that game comes out. I mean, I love not working, so having any reason not to work is also easy for me to take.
I'm going
to
wait till about a year after you're done playing it before I start playing it.
I'm already out of vacation time.
For the rest of this calendar, when is yours reset?
It resets the second to last week in the year, not the last week. That's part of why I'm out of vacation time, is that I had 40 hours of vacation time left towards the end of last year. So I put in the entire between Christmas and New Year's off.
Still, yeah.
And then it turns out that it reset. So I lost all of that banked stuff and then used up 40 hours of this year's stuff in 2016. Because the last calendar week of 2016 used my 2017 vacation time.
You couldn't talk to HR of your store.
A lot of the company stuff.
I could have canceled the vacation and not used it up, but I'm like, fuck it, I already put it in there.
You lost all your bank stuff no matter what.
Yeah, I lost all my bank stuff no matter what. What? There was nothing to be done about that.
Yeah.
That sucks. That really sucks.
Yarp. I mean, we could just, you know, blame Nathan for not knowing ahead of time. But that shit happens occasionally, and it sucks. But now you'll never...
It won't happen this year.
Yeah, no.
I mean, you use it all fucking up. I mean, I have vacation time left, but it's all earmarked.
I have coworkers who are like, they know the rules, but sometimes, well, I was just busy, so I couldn't take vacation. Like, you can always find time. Yes. I mean, I have been more busy than ever this year, and there are time frames where I just can't take vacation, but I still fucking find a day here or there to do it. I mean, it's your time off.
You don't have to go away for a week, but take a 3-day vacation or just take a random Tuesday off or something.
Yeah, there is always an opportunity.
Friday or Monday makes a nice 3-day weekends.
Yeah.
Works well.
I believe in you people. You can find time not to work.
So, any of you guys watch any of E3?
No. I watched a fair amount, but not everything.
Anything that you're excited about?
Well, the guys who made the one game I like made a new game.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Until Dawn. So, when people played Until Dawn, it was a single-player game where you controlled 6 characters or 7 characters throughout the game. 8 characters throughout the game.
It was 8.
Yeah.
It would dwindle.
Well, you started with 8 possible characters. And you
controlled each of them at least once.
Yeah. And you would do stuff throughout the game, and then it'd be fun, and things, people were happy. But people were, it was you playing by yourself controlling the 8 characters.
Yeah.
And what people started doing is playing as a party. They would get 5 or 6 or 7 or even 8 friends, and they would literally pass the controller around during the game.
Why have we done
that?
And
they would post the videos of it. That's a very common thing.
2 reasons. Number 1, Brian and I already know what happens to everybody. Number 2, one flaw with that is some characters are used for like 30% of the game, and some characters you control literally once, and that once is within the last 20 minutes of the end of the game.
Sure.
So whoever's in charge of controlling that guy is kind of grumpy.
But some of them
just likes watching. Yeah. It depends how much you care.
Maybe if there's something like where you could actually... draw straws, or you have everybody with a time period, so you know how long technically everyone should play.
What I was going to say is what you could do for Until Dawn is, like, Brian and I, since we know it, if we got 8 people who were ignorant, then you could just say, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so, you said you want to play very little, so you'll play this character. And Andy, you said you wanted to play as much as possible, so you'll play this character. And so, because there's a couple, quote-unquote, main characters that you
And a lot of people would do it just 4, and they could easily divide up the main characters.
Yes.
But anyway, so because of that, they have this new game coming out where everyone plays cops. And I think there's like 4, I think there's like 4 characters.
Yeah.
And everyone's, maybe 6, 4 to 6 characters.
You're bad at remembering how many characters are games. Well,
that's true. The idea... is you play 4 to 6 characters. And each
46? What is this, Soikoden?
And each character is given, like, hidden... I think you can use your phone or something, and each character is given secret agendas and missions, so you play together, and you're trying to solve things together, but you still have to solve things that work well for you. So it really seems like all the social games you guys love, but in a video game format. And I like that in a video game format more than the board game format, but so I'm intrigued by it. And the fact that those guys, Until Dawn's an amazing game. So if they are trying something new, like they have gotten my money for a couple games because they've earned my trust to try new things.
I was grumpy that the sequel was an on-the-rails shooter.
Well, because it was
like that's missing the point.
It was a VR thing. It was kind of a gimmicky VR thing. It wasn't really a true sequel. Hidden agenda.
Yeah, I just had to double check it.
That looks really cool.
Is that a description or the title?
That's the title of the game. Is Hidden Agenda.
I was
describing what Brian's doing.
It's just that's literally just a category of games. So I'm surprised, but yeah, I like Hidden Agenda board games.
It's very interesting to me that Nintendo has as many cool games. They had a pretty good E3. They had a lot of games that I thought looked pretty interesting coming out.
The Mario Seeker Kingdom Wars or something like that.
Yeah,
that game looks ridiculous.
That it's just XCOM but with Mario and rabbits.
XCOM Mario is like, what the hell is up with that?
I'm intrigued with that. I showed Nathan just because I showed Nathan it, and he knew exactly what it was immediately. Which is the another Shadow of the Colossus remix.
Yeah.
But it's for the PS4, probably for the PS4 Pro. The game still, even the previous iterations, looks amazing.
Yeah. It's always been beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? All it is that hardware is trying to catch up with how beautiful it is.
Yep. Yeah. And this time it looks really crazy. You have Skyrim coming out again for the
fucking stop
Switch.
It. Stop it.
Well,
God
so
damn it.
What I don't, not that Skyrim is fun. Well, I mean, getting on a system, some people might have played it. What makes me sad is those Elder Scroll games are great. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty safe statement. But their last two new games have both been online. Like they did Morrowind, what just came out as a Morrowind online. Before that was something else online.
Oh, yeah, the Elder Scrolls.
Oh, so Morrowind isn't just a reskin of Morrowind?
No, it's an online version of Morrowind.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, is fine, but I mean, sometimes it's... I like multiplayer online games. But I also enjoy a good solo game. Like I put in 100 hours to The Witcher 3. I put in a bunch of time into Horizon Zero Dawn. And
Fallout
4. Fallout 4 VR, by the way, if that's how that's done, could be just fascinating.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, like you mentioned Until Dawn on Rails. So many VR games are just disguised rails. Some are better than others. And the ones that are truly walk around and do stuff are more polypixel level quality. So I will say Resident Evil 4 was actually full on that way, but.
Seven?
I'm sorry, 7 was
full on. Resident Evil 4 is like, they turned that to VR now?
Yeah.
It seems pretty cool.
But 7 being VR is amazing. So seeing Fallout 4 VR, so that's the kind of VR shit I want. And speaking of VR, they had a thing for Japanese, like the Nintendo World of Japanese. When you play Mario Kart, you literally sit in like a cart and you have a wheel and you have like, you have VR, you're not only wearing the goggles, you have things on your hands, so you put your hand in it, so if you get an item, you throw the hand in the air, you have to throw it forward, or you got to make shifts with your hand to like throw, so you're steering, and you got to throw stuff in your shells and things, so I was watching the people play that virtually, and that looked really fun. But that only exists like at a Nintendo game event in Japan.
You know,
we should go there.
Metroid. And hopefully
two new Metroids.
Better than two of them?
Two new Metroids.
There's a 3DS one. Oh, and then they're doing another Metroid Prime, aren't they?
Yep, Metroid Prime 4.
Which, you know, I never got really into the Metroid Prime series because I'm obstinate sometimes, if you haven't noticed. And to me, Metroid was a side-scroller, and so I just...
Well, the new one.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. But part of me just recoiled at the concept of a first-person Metroid, and so I just didn't get into it, which is, that's on me, not on it. But Other M was terrible, so I'm hoping this one's good because I love the Metroid series.
The side-scrolling Metroids are really good. The Primes are actually, good games. They're... they still kind of actually capture a lot of the feel of Metroid, even though it's a first person.
Yeah, like I said, it's me. You know what I mean? I've heard nothing but good things about the Prime games. They're supposed to be amazing.
It's the one where I felt like I was going to break my controller in half consistently. The final boss, I think of Metroid Prime, you had to hold a button to strafe, hold a button to charge up your weapon. You also had to hold other buttons as well, so you can move.
Yeah,
because
strafing is two buttons. It's the joystick and the turn on strafe as opposed to rotate,
and also a lock on as well.
Yeah.
So and the boss is throwing shit at you the entire time, so you're trying to avoid everything, charging up your beam to hit it. There, it was my hands were like.
I like games is my first statement. I get into third-person story games the most, but I really enjoy a good the Wolfenstein first-person game that came out like a year and a half ago, like New Order, and there's a sequel at E3 that's coming out this next
Colossus.
Year.
The Colossus.
The Colossus thing.
But how terrible in it that you kill poor Nazis.
Yeah. But have you seen
this shit?
No.
People are complaining on the internet because, of course, you're killing all the white people. It's like, shut up.
But yeah, so...
All right.
So the ridiculous thing. So first person gaming and Metroid being first person. So I didn't, for whatever reason, about 15% of first person shooters give me motion sickness, and like the first Metroid I tried playing did that to me.
Prime. Yeah. I remember you can't be in the same room when I was playing it.
And there were but I can play Half-Life 2 gave me just a tinge of it, but the game was too good that I'm just gonna fucking push through this and have to stop every few hours.
Fucking
but
gravity gun. So
but
good.
Yeah, something about Metroid was fun. I tried to watch it when I could or play it, but that game just made me so motion sickness. But other games I could play for like 30 straight hours and not have a problem. But just once in a while, first person, I could never play GoldenEye. Like everyone loved GoldenEye back in the Nintendo days. That game gave me terrible motion sickness, so I never got into it because it made me nauseous.
Poor soul.
I know. I was denied the gold. I mean, everyone talks about it. I'm sure it was fun. It's just a game. I just would have to have a bucket next to me if I wanted to play the game. I did play it a couple times because people loved it. I'm like, okay, I got to stop, you know. And I obviously was never very good at it when I played it because I was dying, but, you know, it worked.
Sure. That's why you weren't good at it.
That's why I wasn't good.
It's a cover story. You took Epicac just to make it look like that was the book.
This is something that would be really cool for our cast if we would ever get onto it. Skull and Bones.
Yeah, the
pirate simulation.
That looked neat. I was watching the gameplay of Skull and Bones. It looks like you have two squads go into an area, gather the most loot, and try to get away. I almost wish there was some of that versus AI people mode versus like random mode, because if it's all PvP, I don't know.
It might have bots, a la a MOBA.
Or even, like, mission. I would even, like, even if it was, like, a mission that has, like, a story-based game where you're doing stuff as well, hopefully there's more layers. My only thing is, if you're playing it with, like, five people, either, A, you have to have five friends you trust playing it, or you're gonna match up, and there's just a lot of room for frustration, which is true of all multiplayer games to some degree. But that game, the way it watching the videos, it looked like it required a lot of coordination, which for ship naval battles should require coordination for it to be good. But I'm like, man, this is fun to watch, but I could see just like
you'd almost
be more upset than not while playing this game.
You almost feel like you would almost need a commander type that would actually like have a top-down view.
Yeah.
Or something like that, where they could see and dictate where people should go.
So when they made The Division, there was supposed to be a mobile app where you could actually be kind of that thing for battles. Like you basically would have been like a drone helping out a little bit.
And, okay.
But yeah, that got scrapped before the launch of the game. And I think that would have been a really neat element of that game, because it was lacking a little bit. I think that would have been one of the things. But that would be cool for a naval game too, something where you're...
Well, if it's Ubisoft, so they'll probably talk about doing something like that and then scrap it.
I seem to recall that position existing in the Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare game.
Let's Plays of it. Yeah. I've just never played it. I hear awesome things about it. It's basically Team Fortress Plants and Zombies.
Yeah, basically. No, because you were with the Mario XCOM thing. I'm trying to think, like, Mario has to be one of the most consistently good mascots as far as games they appear in. Like, they're really careful with quality control.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, and his best stuff has come out basically pretty much since the Nintendo 64.
So Mario Brothers, Super Mario, Super Mario 2 and 3, like all those Nintendo ones, and then Super Mario World, or Land, rather, and the Super Nintendo.
Super Mario Land is a Game Boy
World. Super Mario World on the and then Mario 64, the Mario Galaxy games. Like, as old, grizzled, dead inside people, we don't own Nintendo systems because they're for people who want to enjoy life.
Well, I had a Wii. We played the Wii.
You had a Wii? Okay.
Yeah, and I had a Wii for a long time.
Yeah. Okay. Did you play Galaxy and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Never mind then. Maybe it's just me. But Galaxy, I know now now we all just have like PlayStations and shit.
Well, I mean, I've been keeping an eye on it. Yeah. I've been keeping an eye for that Switch for a little bit because I'm definitely going to get into some of these new games.
Like Mario's, like, and even the spinoffs, like Smash Brothers and Mario Kart and stuff, like, they're really good with quality control.
They're good games, yeah. But I mean, just the quality of just a standard Mario game, like New Super Mario Brothers 2 for the not the Advance, but what am I thinking?
Wii U?
No, the 3DS. Handheld 3DS. Those are really good. Yeah. Even the one that came out for the Wii U is probably the weakest of the most recent ones. But even the new Weird Hat Mario game looks amazing as well.
Yeah.
Someone in text just said I'm the most tragic person that they know.
Because you didn't play GoldenEye.
Oh, because I didn't play GoldenEye.
And that's a fate worse than death.
I missed, yeah.
Also, just in general.
I mean, that's fair. I wasn't. I didn't see the message until now, so I thought it was more. I thought maybe he's catching up. He's behind in typing.
But yeah, no, Nintendo's. I mean, but they've always been like that. Remember the Nintendo seal of approval back for the original Nintendo? That wasn't a gimmick. Like, they only released a finite number of games for the Nintendo every year. So as an independent publisher, you had to show it to them, and they would play it and tell it whether it was good enough to be on a Nintendo or not.
Correct.
Which was crazy.
Yeah. I wish they would do that with some of the other systems. A YouTube personality I watch a lot, Jim Sterling, has got a lot of things that... Steam just got rid of Greenlight. They're kind of like promotional tool for indie developers or new people.
For cheap garbage and shovelware.
Yeah. They got rid of that finally. Now they made it so you have to submit $100 per submission for it. So it makes it so people who would just shovel on all the shovelware, it's going to be expensive for them. But for an indie developer, it's only going to cost them $100.
Right. And if you're actually like somebody, if you're the next Braid or Bastion or something, you will make that $100 back.
Correct. And it actually goes to whatever you pay there. If your units, X amount of units sell, you get it back or something like that. A lot of those shit games that end up over on Steam are starting to make its way to the home systems. Like, he's been talking, a lot of them are coming over to the PlayStation Network games now.
Sure, because you grab a copy of Unity, and you throw a few random assets in there, and you slap a title screen, and you charge $5.
Yep.
And you'll get $5.
Or even more, because PlayStation doesn't really care how much you charge for it. So some of those really shit shovelware games are, $30. $15 to $30 or so.
Yeah.
And they're just really, really bad games. Jimquisition is his
he's good. I've watched several of his videos.
He likes to he's a British guy who likes to rant a lot. It's entertaining.
He finally had the final capstone on that whole... What was that one game?
It's Digital Homicide with the studio.
Digital Homicide. I forget the game. But yeah, a studio was suing him because he gave them a bad review. Mm-hmm. And Andy turned me on to Jim midway through this whole process. And that finally basically is over. So he had a big finale, like capstone video, where he talked about all the details. And it's a fascinating journey if you just follow all the videos from when he first reviewed that... That game up until the
Slaughtering Grounds, I think.
Slaughtering Grounds, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
like,
it's...
They were so bitter and petty about it that they released... So he did the video, because he's on YouTube, he was playing the game and he was doing his voiceover over the footage of him playing the game. They took that video and they voiced over making fun of him over the same video. Just like, oh, I'm Jim Sterling, and crappy.
No, they didn't do that.
They did subtitles on screen.
They just added text onto it over his video.
Screen. That's right. There was text on screen about how, he's an incompetent idiot and the game can't be bad. He just doesn't understand gameplay mechanics and... He's Jim fucking Sterling's son.
No, and then Jim did a review of their review of his review.
And then they sued him and things got crazy.
Yeah. And there's a lot more games that came out from that Digital Homicide place that were frequent on his show. It's interesting learning some of the backstory, or at least some of the bad things of the market that's out there. folks that end up using their review site and then tie it all to digital casinos.
Oh yeah,
as yep. well. I know you remember that, but there was some story recently about that from there.
People are shitty.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's like people want to play new games and people want to support indie games. People are able to take advantage of that kind of stuff. I mean, new and innovative stuff is cool, so people are just trying to like take advantage, and it's annoying.
It sucks when you have games that are like Braid and that will get buried in digital marketplaces because of all the shit.
Well,
and that's what he really wanted to try to prevent is, you know, all these people just shoving in all these games and then all the gems just disappearing because they can't afford to put it in.
And you know, if you don't know nothing from nothing and you see, you know, Braid or Slaughtering Grounds and they're both just these indie games for whatever, like, if you're just going to throw some $5-$10 at something, you don't know which one's better. You know, I mean, obviously that's the job of the reviewer and everything, but things got better a couple years ago when Steam finally rolled out a refund policy.
Yes.
Because before that, you know, when you paid for something, it was yours forever. Like, now you can refund stuff. Like, I refunded Civ 6 because my computer inexplicably couldn't run it because of how computers work.
Hmm. I got a game I liked a lot. It was just
No Man's Sky, didn't you?
Hmm?
Didn't you refund No Man's Sky?
No, I didn't. I kept it even though it's still a shitty game even with the updates. But there was a game I got. It was a survival. It was a zombie survival game where you have to go around, make stuff, fix stuff, and save communities. And it came out like a few years ago. And me and Jeremy played it a bunch. Can't think of the name of it because I can't think of anything.
State of Decay was
State of Decay. It was State of Decay.
Was it State of Decay? Because I think that was Microsoft only. It might be PC.
I could have swore it was State of Decay. I played it on Steam. But then they came up with a game of the year. Well, I was going to say it's that game. It may not be that game, but that's what it was like State of Decay. So then there was like a game of the year version that came out that was high-res graphics in just a couple of years. And I tried to play it, and the game, every so often, if you have a certain video card, and if you have the right chain of events, it just wouldn't load for you.
Yeah.
So I just had to get my money refunded for that game because I wanted to play it because I enjoyed it, and they had added some little mods to it, some DLCs, and I heard how much fun it was, and it just would not load on my computer. Because I could have blown like probably 40 hours in like 40
It was Steve, yeah.
No, I was annoyed because my Civ 1 was because my graphics card, all the statistics were, they dwarfed the requirement because I had bought a good graphics card. But the graphics card I had, for some reason, can only go up to like DirectX 9.
Oh,
and you need DirectX 10 to run Civ.
Or, yeah, DirectX X something. Yeah,
yeah, but it was 10 or higher. And, like, my graphics card, like, all the statistics were there, like the RAM and all that shit. But, no, just for no reason at all, the manufacturer didn't support DirectX 10 on that graphics card. It stopped at 9.
Well, it's
and that's why I'm a console gamer.
It's like, well, that's lame. But it's like, it's not like
I'll never hit that shit. Like, I never have to deal with that. I buy a game for my console, I can play it. I never have to worry about that garbage.
But it's not like back in the day when you needed, like, I remember having to have, like, floppy disks to boot into certain games.
Yeah, sure.
And there was, like, I had a thing of just different floppy disks for certain games because you had to just do all the special stuff to get a certain game. I hated that so much.
I had to do that for Elder Scrolls Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. For anybody out there who has the lair of the Elder Scrolls, that is the
first
one.
And I get the frustration.
Well, I know Morrowind was the first one.
Nope.
It was a joke.
And I do agree. I mean, I do agree. It is frustrating when, because of the computer shit, where you get a game it should work and it doesn't, but I just get so much more. And I still play thousands of hours a year on consoles, but the PCs, there are certain games, like you can't get a good Civ experience or a Total War experience on a console yet.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to put it on there. When Total War 2 comes out, that's going to be 150 hours guaranteed of time. And if a console can handle it, maybe I could do it. But because, I mean, I have to spend quite a bit of money on a new computer. Me and Chris are giving Andy shit because he just won't put the money down on a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have the computer he needs to play. Our game we want to play isn't even that expensive.
Well, I hate I get a first-person shooter on a computer. I have to play it with keyboard and mouse, and that's terrible.
Son of a bitch, you're trying to troll me. I'll murder you. It's the best. Getting a keyboard and mouse for my PS4 for first-person shooters was one of the best things I did.
You should play Overwatch on there.
Strafing and aiming with two joysticks is the best thing.
Yep.
Way better than keyboard and mouse.
It's so much fun when you put a keyboard and mouse on a console and you play against people who have, like, it's amazing how your kill percentage and everything about you goes up.
People, everything about you goes up.
Everything goes up when you get one of those little those add-ons. I can't think what I had. It was $100 to convert a converter, but it let keyboards and mice work on the PC or the PS4. People get so mad at you. You'd be called a cheater and all these kind of things because it's like, how dare you? You could aim and hit me. It's like, yeah, I got a fucking mouse and keyboard, motherfucker. Of course I can aim now.
I
enjoy your fucking controller, noob.
To be perfectly honest, even just playing with keyboard mouse and then switching with a controller going over to a console. So a couple times Overwatch has had free weekends. I've loaded it up on my PS4 and I have completely destroyed people on there.
Oh, when I
even though I'm using a controller,
you know what it is you and I grew up playing GoldenEye. So we know how to use a controller to play a first person shooter.
When I was at the Hooks last year, and Keith had Overwatch on his TV on his PS4, and I was waiting for them, and I would play on his PS4, and I was a fucking god on that game on the console as well. I don't know what it was, because it was still a control. It was still annoying, but I still had more just control movement after like all the mouse keyboard.
Something weird about it, but it Overwatch on the PS4 feels like it's moving in slow motion.
Yeah, it does. It's not.
When I was playing with Junkrat, I'm just bombarding an area, and I'm like, why is this just going so slow?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I will say I did play hundreds of hours on the PS4 Borderlands with a controller just fine. But that game is more about shooting at an area than shooting at a target.
Sure, unless you play Zero, which none of us did.
Yeah,
yeah, it was not a precision game. Yeah, it was
just aim forward, problem solved type of a situation.
Oh, God.
I know with Destiny 2 being out on the PC as well as the console, a lot of people I know are going to be all over the place now. Because before, when Destiny 1 came out, it was only console only. Mm-hmm. So everyone basically played together. But I already know like half people I know are going to jump into the PC for it.
Well, there's talking more and more of crossplay for... Well, definitely through Xbox and PC. There's a lot of crossplay there. But PlayStation, supposedly it's in, for a couple games, it's in their court.
The consoles usually were resistant to play with the PC because of the imbalance. Because a mouse keyboard player will beat up, they tested it.
Look here, John Henry.
I'm not saying a great person with a controller is still going to beat an average person on a keyboard. But when you put two equally skilled people down, the mouse keyboard person is going to win. They ran the numbers on that shit. Facts.com, look it up. /org.
Facts.com, look it up. /org.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. The data's there. But yeah, no, I don't know. Game's good.
Well, I think for a lot of the crossplay, I don't think they have direct competition between the two groups. But like if you're doing like co-op or stuff like that, that's really where they've been going into more of the crossplay. I mean, it'd be cool to be able to play, be able to just play with your friends no matter what system that you have.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice. And that's what I like about the app. If I'm going to play...
I caught myself, Andy.
If I want to play a certain Lords of Water, I can play against that, against them with whether they were playing on Steam or whether they're on Apple or whether they're on Android. I have a mobile device. They have a mobile device. The name brand doesn't matter. It's nice. If I buy a $50 game for my home thing, I want to be able to play against my friends, regardless. You know, if they want to make stupid choices and buy an Xbox, that's their life decision.
Yeah,
they can do that. But I would still like to play with them.
Do you want to be affiliated with those people?
Well, I mean, they're handy. Someone's got to give them a little bit of mercy. I mean, they've made some terrible mistakes. Someone needs to help them a little bit.
Like I want to play Friday the 13th. I don't want to fork out $800 for a new Friday the 13th.
How old are your computers?
This runs the podcast okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're
does
new.
It though?
I mean,
does it?
Sometimes.
It could probably run Friday the 13th. I mean, it could run Portal 2 just fine on there.
If you can run Portal 2, you should run Friday the 13th. Yeah. And if you get lag at the wrong time, it'd be hilarious.
I got Friday the 13th on the PlayStation 4, so.
Well, that's... I didn't want to play with you.
Fair.
I wanted to play with Brian. Well, Chris, Chris.
A few of us already on the PC.
Yeah.
Have you guys played it anymore? Have you guys got into it? Because they patched.
We were busy watching The Genius,
which is fair. That's a good thing to be doing. And you have season 2 to go through. Yep. When you get close to, so the link I said season 1 was on YouTube.
How many seasons are there?
There are 4 seasons of The Genius. Season 1 was very easy to watch on YouTube. Season 2. Is on this questionable website where you basically have to watch an episode of this show you know, run some antivirus stuff, watch another season, ignore the some of the interesting things that pop up around you, and just, you know, enjoy the show. All I found for season three is I found the episodes, but they have them where it's like part one and part two. It's not even, you have to like watch, it's like
sure,
they broke split. The videos down. So I'm gonna harass Tim and see if he found a good, because Tim would know where the best links are.
Yeah. And, as opposed to being on virusesandtelevision.com.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just
watch,
like,
watch your PS4 brick.
Oh my God. When I had to go onto a website like that to watch the last episode of Review,
yeah.
I could just, like, I was catching viruses myself through the computer. It was so, oh, I felt so mean. I felt so mean. It's like the guy who had to hold the dog underwater to film the Dog's Purpose movie. I felt like that to my, but to my computer. Didn't
purposely hold the dog underwater.
Yes.
No.
Anyway, dog, I felt dog like that
wanted
guy.
To get out of the pool. Yeah.
It's like, please don't make me do this. I'm terrified. And he's like, nope, you're doing this.
No, he didn't pull. He didn't hold him underwater. He didn't want to jump into the water. Yeah. Like he was. I've read.
I did that to my computer. It did not want to be there. It knew that it was scared, and I said, I don't care.
Oh, I already go to get my other entertainment, I already go to questionable sites, so my computer has already been beaten down.
Didn't you have a laptop that as well?
I have literally had to provide a list of safe places to get that kind of entertainment to customers, because at Staples and whatnot, when we'd do virus removal, and we'd have people come back, like, you know, a week later with a new virus, and we can see your internet history, because of course these people aren't even smart enough to control shift N. So after like the third one, we gave them a list. I'm like, here's places you can go that won't give you viruses, you idiot.
Sometimes a virus, you have to, like, you know what? That video's only over that side. I guess I got to, like...
worth it. That's how I was with Review.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And with that Pakistani thing.
Yeah.
That's also the kind of annoying thing, too. Is like, I go to Wowhead for World of Warcraft stuff.
Oh, I thought it was somebody going, Wowhead!
No.
Wowhead does his problems, too.
They have questionable advertising on their... not questionable as in... questionable titties or anything like that. Yeah, titties. Yeah, but it's questionable as in where it just redirects your page over to a fake page that says you have a virus, click here to, you know. Yeah. At least I've grown up in a time where I learned not to click. Well, yes, I'm but there's so many people who don't.
Some this people is Microsoft, just, call us at this number and give us $600 in iTunes gift cards. Why do those people, like, is there a black market for iTunes gift cards in Nigeria that's why these scammers take it?
Well, a lot of places just will
be scamming people to buy League of Legends skins. Like,
well, they do a lot of those, and that's kind of where some of the, there's a key reseller that was, what they would do is they would get people's credit cards, buy games with the credit cards,
but credit cards,
and buy the keys with the credit cards, and then they could sell the keys.
I guess credit cards I can get, man, and the key.
And that's kind of like what they would do with those.
The IRS scam was so big that the government had to put out a public awareness campaign to tell people the IRS is not calling you, the IRS is not suing you, the IRS does not want your iTunes gift cards. And for it to be that big, that means that millions of dollars are being scammed from people.
Enough to make it worthwhile.
What are these people doing with millions of dollars of iTunes cards?
Well, getting the Beatles, because they're on the iTunes.
So everybody in Nigeria just owns the complete collection of all the Beatles and Stones songs? Like,
Yep.
I just feel like money laundering, there must be some way to convert iTunes gift cards back into real money. Otherwise, this can't be worth it to them.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird. Zappity. So we have some E3 shenanigans. We have more of the genius. I mean, we could just have a genius episode.
Yeah.
The genius. Boop, 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 boop.
Well, Rom. You have to get to...
Show you, Rom. I'm going to start watching Korean women's billiards.
That one billiard player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was
definitely... Snooker.
I like snooker.
Snooker.
And Jung Moon also.
Jung Moon.
She's a K-pop singer, which means when you are an early 20s Korean K-pop singer, you are very attractive.
That is a true statement.
Like, if you think America only takes pretty people for their pop singers, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, their bands have like 87 members.
They're ridiculous.
While Andy's looking up Zappity Grumbles, rewinding to dice trays.
Yeah.
This is tangential. Made me think of dice towers, which made me think of, did you ever play Wallenstein or Shogun?
I played Wolfenstein. I mentioned earlier that
no,
it was really good.
Wallenstein. It's a board Shogun. Game. Not Samurai Swords, which was originally called Shogun. Shogun was it's a Euro-style military game that was a reskin of Wallenstein. They're both very good. But the main mechanic with those is to do battles. Like, your troops were cubes. And you'd have, like, you know, six or seven cubes in a thing. Sure. And then I'd move in with, like, five or whatever. And the way you did combat is you scooped up all the cubes.
Yeah.
And you dumped them into a dice tower. And the tower had, like, platforms inside of it, which meant that not all the cubes would make it out. Some would be stuck in the tower.
Yeah.
And then when the cubes came out, whoever had more, like, if three of mine came out and two of yours, your two would die and my three would go, and that's how combat was randomized.
Sure.
But if I went into you with, like, an 8-3 advantage and all three of yours came out but only two of mine came out, I lost the battle, but I've got six fuckers still sitting in that cube waiting to get jarred loose in the next combat.
Okay.
So it's actually a really neat randomization mechanic, because even if you got fucked by luck and loss, you knew that that meant that, literally, physically speaking, you were due to get more luck. And so you could go into a battle outnumbered 6-1, and you're like, yeah, but I know I've got like 10 of the guys in the pool. They might get jarred loose, and I might win this. And they're just really fucking good games. You'd like Wallenstein and Shogun.
I'll only play with those games with Jim. It sounds like a game to play with Jim. Yeah.
One thing that Jim would get this part right, but one thing with Wallenstein and Shogun is that it's like X number of rounds, and there are certain specific actions, which means it's a military game where you know that you will only be able to make 10 moves and 5 attacks in the whole game. And, like, from turn one, you know that this is a finite action pool.
Sure.
And when people don't get that and they're like, yeah, last turn I'm going to move and attack a bunch, and you're like, this isn't Risk. You've already lost.
You have lost.
So somebody had asked for Zappity Grumble. Oh, we should also mention, too, WITC is happening in August.
WITC, yes, August 26th, which I got two bad things. So I thought August 26th, I was sad at first, but then it made me happy. I thought that I had double booked with something that we were doing socially, and then it turned out I wasn't. So that was good news. But the terrible fucking thing. So those Stephen King tickets went on sale. Because that's in September, though. Yes. But the Stephen King tickets went on sale. And Raylene is like a member of his fan club or whatever. She could have bought tickets 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
And tickets were just first. Every ticket, it's assigned seating. But every ticket was the same price. So front row and nosebleeds cost the same. But it was first come, first served to buy the tickets. The date went up and we're like, fuck. We have another event that day. So guess we don't get to see Stephen King. 3 days later, Raylene realizes that she had the wrong week, and we didn't have anything planned that day. And, of course, by then, every ticket that was in the same time zone had already sold. So we still bought tickets, but we're going to have to bring binoculars.
Good to know.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. It'll be fun. And that's the story.
Yeah.
We're all just staring at the chat where Jim said you want to know why they have that many members.
Memebers.
Why does K-pop have that many? Is this going to be a joke? Is there a punch? Am I walking into like a joke?
Why does K-pop have that many memebers?
It's a good question.
All right.
Maybe he doesn't know either. Maybe he's asking us. Or do you want
to
know?
Like, somebody asked last week, and this is something I got to talk to you because I've been meaning to talk to you for the last week about this, but you've been working. Friday the 13th has been out for a while. What's your impression?
I am 90 hours in. I love it.
You were somehow like 80 hours in after 3 days.
Well, I was 50, 60 hours in. I mean, I have been doing, well, because I had the whole week. I had 4 days off. Right. I basically played it 4 days straight. So I've been only doing about 15 hours a week since then. But, you know, if I'm not doing that, I'm playing board games or at work. That's like, if I'm not doing that. And I have to freaking camp. I have to do another 8 games of Heroes.
And humans evolved to need sleep for some stupid reason.
But no, it's a fun game. I've been playing with a friend. And I've been playing so much, I've been making friends with Steam. So now a lot of times I can play with people that I know to some degree. Because when you play random any game online, you have a higher risk of just idiots. Mm-hmm. So the more people I make friends with, the less random people I have to encounter. And the games become more and more fun. They've patched the game a bunch. There's going to be a big actual... Instead of just having like fixes, they're going to be like a content update where they add some stuff to the game I'm very excited for. Because they keep fixing exploits people find, which is great. And I'm waiting for them to add just a little bit more meat to the game.
I will start playing the game when they add Jason X.
Yeah, I mean,
did Pamela come out on? I heard she was coming out on my birthday, or was that like a mislead thing?
What? There's going to be a single player mode coming out. There's no new character. There's no new. You can't play as Pamela Voorhees or anything
like
that.
Okay, because like 2 weeks ago, somebody asked, "Do you have anything planned for June 13th?" Because that's when the original movie took place, and they hinted on their Twitter very heavily. They dropped like a Pamela Voorhees quote.
Oh.
And so people thought that that meant that she would be, it would be an alternate Jason, basically, but playing as Pamela instead of Jason.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do that or not, but I mean,
that'd be cool.
It'd be interesting.
But she wasn't superhuman, I guess.
So. Well, yeah, because she'd be running around and you figure, because I mean, other people have guns and stuff, so you figure you could just, like, you know, shoot her once and she'd be dead. Where you shoot Jason, you just
slow. Maybe her gimmick could be that guns are unavailable for the campers.
Yeah, that map or something, there's a thing. Yeah, you could. Yeah, who knows? I mean, they could. What I would like to see, so when you play the game as a player, you can unlock perks and abilities, and you get X amount of points per level, and you either can buy new ways to kill people with Jason, or you can buy skills for the counselors, and the skills are random, but, you know, it's random, and there's levels of, you know, one skill has like a gold or has like a gray to a purple, you know, kind of a thing, but we're, you know, and even though I still see Jason win a lot, which is, you know, seems to make sense. And to me, a great game would be a couple people got away via some method and everyone else died. Because you can escape cars or boats or call the police. And I think every game, if it's a good game, you get, and the people are working together, you have some mix of get away, not get away. And people still get wiped out. If people don't work together, they die to Jason. I mean, if there's no communication teamwork, Jason typically rolls them. And that, to me, makes sense. There's a lot of ways to work together. And if the players ignore that method, that's fine. Then they lose. One thing I've noted, when you play a lot, you see some names pop up more in multiplayer because you just, you know, you recognize them. And there's this one character whose name is Kikiki Mamama. And all he does every game he's ever been in that I've been in or Chris has been into is he gets into the game, he goes under the nearest bed and sits there and tries to wait out the time. Because after 30 minutes, if not everyone's not dead, people survive.
Yeah.
But Jason has lots of ways to sense people or sense things. But for whatever reason, it's still that person's strategy every single game. And we've never seen him actually live. He always seems to die. But every game, he always does it. And it's infuriating because it's just such a... And if you're doing that, it means you're not finding parts for the car. You're not doing stuff to help the team. You're just under a bed doing nothing and always dying.
Maybe you just always happen to run into him when he needs to poop.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's been a dozen plus games.
One of my coworkers said he was playing, and he was fixing the boat, and he refueled the boat, and then he put the propeller on the boat. So, like, he did everything for the boat himself, and while he was putting the propeller on, three other people jumped in the boat and then drove away with it.
Well,
and he's so, like, you sons of bitches.
When you put the propeller, you can't sit in the boat until the gas and the propeller on the boat. Yeah. And then one person can sit in and start it, and as soon as they start it, a second person can get in.
Yeah, so two people then.
But yeah. So you could...
He installed the propeller and then stood up and watched them get in. And
a great trick for Jason is Jason sometimes will, you know, if he sees them, what they're going to be able, he'll let them get away because he's much faster. You don't want to deal with Jason in the water, so he'll sometimes let them get away, and then he'll teleport and get into the water and just sink them. Because once Jason knocks you out of the boat, you're 100% dead. There's no way to... I mean, you try to swim away, but you never can make it away from Jason in the water.
Jason
so the
X.
Boat's always a dangerous way to get away. Jason X would be kind of cool, but I don't know if we'll see him. So I was mentioning every counselor can get perks, and some perks are you start with a bat or you can stun Jason. Sometimes when you play a game, if people are working together and certain characters are better with stunning him, certain characters are better at repairing. And if you get like three characters who are really good at strength and can really stun Jason, and they all have bats and they all have the plus stun, you can pretty much just lock Jason the fuck down for the entire match, and like eight people can get away because you just literally just chain fucking stun Jason to death. It doesn't always work well, but it happens enough that it can be a little frustrating when you play Jason sometimes.
Sure.
But you got to kind of avoid that, and there are ways to mess with it a little bit, but it can be super challenging. And the players' teamwork should make it so you can deal with Jason, but like... What I think they should do is have Jason... They should add perks to Jason at some point where something's... I mean, eventually, if people get the best perks and they start putting the best perks together and you get a whole group of people who are working together with all the best perks, Jason never got a better perk. He doesn't have... He's capped at level, you know, his level.
Right.
So, but it's not always a problem, but... And you don't want to not make players working together not be successful.
Right, but it should be a requirement to win. It shouldn't be something that if you do, you dominate.
Yeah. And I think it'd be cool. Like currently, each Jason has one. If you play like Jason Part 8, you always have a fire axe. If you play Part 6, you have a spear. It'd be cool if they like.
There's the pitchfork for the Kickstarter exclusive one, right?
Well, yeah. Well, that Jason, yeah, he has kind of a help pitchfork thing. Yeah. So it'd be cool if like you could like switch weapons out. Like you can elect different weapons for Jason.
Weed Whacker.
Yeah, even if there's like he can pick up like throwing knives and he can lay traps, which are very helpful. But it'd be cool if he could like, and you can do environmental kills. You can grab someone and stun them. But if you're near like a tree trunk, you can impale them or a sleeping bag kill them. But it'd be cool if he could like, there were like temporary weapons around the map he could grab and get like one or two kills before that weapon breaks. He goes back to his other weapon or
sure
things like that. But no, the game is just fucking.
And play
fun.
As Link, because that's the Breath of the Wild thing.
Yeah. I could place. I love the game. Chris is almost caught up in. I had about a 30-hour lead on Chris, and he's within like 10 hours of me. So he has been playing the fuck out of Friday the 13th.
You've been slacking.
Well, I've been slacking. Well, I mean, it's like I play board games Mondays, Tuesdays, every other Thursdays, every other Fridays. My life is hard.
Zabity.
Grumble.
What is the best underrated superpower? You were just talking about him at the beginning of the before we went live.
What?
You were just talking about a character with a superpower.
A dog welder?
Yep.
Yeah, he welds dogs to people.
Yep. I don't know if that's really underrated.
People don't rate it very highly. Teleportation. It's more useful than you would think.
Yes. Yeah. He'll get me out of this situation right now.
Well, no, because like you can use it. Like you don't have to just go to one spot. Like you could ape flight by just consistently teleporting like a 64th of an inch forward and stuff like that. I don't know. I like the tactile telekinesis. That was really cool. Superboy Prime. You know his gimmick. So he has all the powers of Superman, except in reality he has none of the powers of Superman. What it actually is that he has telekinesis, so he can lift things with his mind, control things with his mind, but only if he's touching them. And he thinks he has super strength, but he isn't really lifting the bus with his muscles, lifting it with his mind. And he thinks he's bulletproof, but in actuality, as soon as the bullet hits him, he's instinctively using his telekinesis to hold it away from his body. And flight is really like him pushing on the air with his telekinesis and stuff. So he thinks he has every ability of Superman, but he has none of them. That's clever writing to me.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing. Yep. We did get an answer in our chat about the K-pop members, why they have a bunch of people, if Nathan wants to read it.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's fair. We now know why K-pop has members.
Yeah, it's a secret.
It's a secret that if you were in our chat, you would know the answer.
Our Patreon followers will get the answer.
There you go.
What?
Patreon? Yeah, we'll
message. I have to do work
on it? Yeah, make sure you tweet out the answer to Patreon.
I don't think... They really care?
They care.
They didn't care until I wouldn't tell them.
Yeah.
Now they care.
We have a special Patreon-only question hour segment.
Yeah.
We can actually do that. We can actually set up that. Instead of having Zappity Grumble going directly to chat and that, we could have Patreon.
Well, have some mix. Like, we want the peasants to still ask us questions as well as the Patreons. I mean, it's very important.
All right, Zappity
Grumble.
I don't think all of us all answered that question.
Only I did, and I barely answered it.
I agree with him, though, completely, so it was fine.
Yay!
Who is the best fictional dad? Nathan and I discussed this earlier, and it also is the envy of everybody now.
That's a good question.
Al Bundy.
I think, I like the dad from Alias, Jack.
Sure.
He uses a fucking kick-ass motherfucker. I like the dads in some of those like those type of scenarios because they're just badass motherfuckers, and it's just they amuse me greatly.
This ties into the Al Bundy one, but I also really like Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, Bryan Cranston's character.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He's a great dad, and a cool guy. Also, super obscure, but somebody was mentioning this movie on my Facebook this morning. If you've ever seen Breaking Away, which is a 1980s bicycling movie, the dad in it would be, he's fucking amazing.
I will say this is a mom, but the mom from Burn Notice was, to me, the most well-written mom character I've seen in anything. Like, she just felt like 100% real.
Sure.
In a ridiculous show, they just like nailed the mom character in that. But obviously, it's Father's Day, so it's not a good answer for, you know, the best dad. But that's the best mom. I mean, hands down, unquestionably.
You also have Jerry Stiller, who's
Seinfeld as Costanza's dad. Yeah. Well, Jerry Stiller also as the exact same character in King of Queens. Like, that movie isn't as good as Seinfeld, but it's Jerry Stiller playing a grumpy dad.
So. Jack Bauer is also a great dad as well. He's talking to his daughter on the phone, and she's being attacked. He's like, shoot him, and she shoots him. She goes, I shot him, Dad. He goes, shoot him again. And I was like, that's the best fucking advice.
Good job.
Any daughter has ever got. So she shot him again just to make sure. Oh, my God. I was watching that with Jim, and I swear to God, we almost hurt ourselves laughing at that scene because it was so awesome.
I just got done watching recently Grumpy Old Men again.
It's on HBO a lot lately. I watch it all the fucking time.
Burgess Meredith in that film is the he's amazing. Burgess Meredith is amazing, but you should watch Grumpy Old Men.
I've never seen it.
You never seen Grumpy Old Men?
Nah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's pretty funny.
It does stand up to time fairly well.
Well, it's got Lemon and Matthau in it. Well,
it's grumpy old men. That'll always stand the test of time. It's like, oh, as long as old men ice fish, that movie will make sense.
Fuck yeah. God, the outtakes for Meredith in that. So good. Oh, yeah. And then somebody, Zappity Grumble, somebody had asked best muscle car, pony car. Which is not really generally our podcast, but
I'm a big fan of the Challengers, Dodge Challenger, which I was reading. I actually coincidentally was recently looking at a thing about the concept of muscle versus pony car, and they were saying that by the original kind of definitions, the Challenger might be the only muscle car still available in America, because with shifting styles. Like, part of the definition of a pony car is that you can afford it without being a billionaire.
Sure.
Like, muscle cars are giant and expensive. And American cars now tend to be smaller and cheaper. And so if being huge and expensive is a requirement for being a muscle car, they just are extinct now, except for maybe the Challenger. They were saying only the Challenger because it's the one that the lowest power one is already a V8. Like, that's the minimum.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think probably my favorite car in that sense is I like the Eleanor, the Shelby Mustang. Yeah,
I they haven't been available for like 20-30 years now. Jesus, time flies. It's not really a muscle car. You could say it's a pony car because it's smaller and it's still a sporty thing, but it's more like one of those stylish sporty thing, kind of like a Stingray or a Barracuda versus, you know, a Camaro or whatever. But I love the MGB. But that's a British vehicle, and they don't even make them anymore, so it hardly counts. But it's one of those small, little, like, two-seater European sports cars. But I like it because my dad had one when I was a kid, so, of course, right in the back of my head, ingrained nostalgia value.
My ingrained nostalgia value is the Ford Probe.
I had a Probe.
I like the Probe back in the day. One of the reasons why I remember it so well is I decided to be nice to my parents once. My mom was off visiting my grandma, and it was just me and dad at home. My dad was a cop. And I decided that when I was 10, 12, 13 or so, I'd clean the car for him.
Sure.
I pulled it out of the garage.
Yeah.
When I pulled out of the garage, I had the driver's side door. It was open.
Yeah, and it went the other direction?
And it was very open after it was done.
So that is similar to my Ford Probe, which is that I had my Ford Probe, and I went down and visited my dad, and I added, I think I must have had a windshield wiper for something. I was under the hood for some reason while I was down there in Illinois. And so then halfway to driving back up to Madison, the hood of the car fully opened and slammed against the windshield. Because, like, it hadn't fully latched.
Sure.
And so the vibration of driving down the highway just whoomp. So I'm driving at, like, 75 miles an hour, and all of a sudden there's a giant slam, shattered glass, zero visibility, and poop in my pants. Not literally, but probably could have been. But so I got off the road and I slammed the hood back shut. And of course, that meant that it was never opening again because it had been so damaged, like the mechanism, that once I closed the hood, it was fused forever. And so I couldn't open the hood again. So eventually I just didn't have windshield wiper fluid. My battery died. So I had to cut a hole in the hood of the car to reach the battery to get the battery out. So then I just had a Ford Probe with a hole in the hood of the car for a while. And then I don't know if it was related or unrelated, but eventually it started electrocuting me every time I got in or out. Like it opened the door and it would shock me when I touched the frame. Sure. And so after a while I got rid of it. And after a while, I mean like 2 years later, like I lived with that shit because I'm that much of a cheapskate when it comes to cars.
Cars.
Cars 3, 65% Rotten Tomatoes.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I don't know cars. That's my car. That's my contribution.
I know. I got. Going I Ford have some
Mustang.
Stories.
Every American knows the Ford the Mustang.
I like the old, like the. I can't think what they drive on. What they drive on Supernatural? Like it's always like the 68.
Oh Camaro. Yeah, yeah. No, they have a. Fuck. What do they have on?
My
that would be a muscle car because it's so big.
Yeah, that and I love the big metal muscle car. Like that's the kind of car I would want. Is that kind of a thing? Whatever the fuck they drive in.
God damn it! That is
they have an episode where it's basically the entire episode is just a car's point of view. Like the entire episode takes place.
Of what?
The car from Supernatural is a big muscle car from like the 70s, 60s, 70s.
I thought you said Superman.
Is it an Impala?
It's an Impala. It's a 60 something Impala. Yeah,
I love 67. That car. But they have an entire episode takes place from the point of view of the car. It's like the can. It's just they just film everything from inside the car. It's just like the 60 minutes of just car view.
The so Impala is there shots in there like the muscles on the outside kind of talking?
Oh, you can still see it, but it's all different, but.
The Impala was an example in that article I was talking about because in the 60s, you know, the late 60s, that thing was a giant boat like they have in Supernatural. And now when you see an Impala, it's basically like a mid-sized compact.
I had an 85 Impala that I got in a car accident, 3 cars totaled, and I probably would have been killed in anything smaller. But that was still still an old metal monstrous thing.
You were driving a tank.
I was, and that thing fucking kept me alive because it was spinning around in circles, doing 360s, flying around in a highway is a fascinating feeling that I hope no one ever has to encounter.
Was that over by Sun Prairie?
I hit the median, which was terrifying by itself. I never knew medians just tossed you off of them like rag dolls.
I've done that,
and then just so I was like, and then just and it was like just spinning 360 down the highway, stopping, having 2 seconds ago. Fuck, because I knew was the highway behind me was filled with cars, and it was night, and we were all on ice. And then I spun out where I luckily the car was like this, but this was the driver's side. So when cars hit me,
they hit the passenger side,
but they fucking T-boned me, sending me more 360 spinning, flying into the fucking ditch. When all was said and done, I'm sitting there going, I don't know if I'm alive or dead right now.
I only had that first part happen to me. I hit ice, spun out, hit the median, and I 360 through it. Yeah. I landed. It wasn't a highway. It was a 2 lanes on each side divided like 45 mile an hour, you know, like McKee kind of road.
Yeah.
And I spun and I landed on the other side of the road.
Yeah. If I would have been in any kind of car today, I would have been probably in the hospital and dead. But that I totaled the car behind me, totaled the SUV behind them. Every car that touched each other was all just destroyed, but no one was hurt. And then I got to call the person who invited me to the house. I'm like, I can't come because my car broke, and thanks for the invite. I told you I shouldn't come. And then she cried on the phone. I'm like, ha!
So your vote is the Impala.
My vote's the Impala. It saved my life, and it's a Supernatural.
I remember another car story of yours. I think you had a Mercury Thunderbird.
Okay, first of all, it's a Ford Thunderbird.
Or whatever. I don't remember what it was, but it was a Thunderbird that had a digital dash, and this is back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Early 90s.
This was early 90s, and it was
had a digital dash in it that would cut in and out.
It would cut in and out sometimes. You're just driving, and the dash just goes out. Like, well, that sucks. When I bought that car for $4,000, sold it for $6,000, and the day I sold it, the dash worked.
Good job.
It's all that mattered. I'm like, come on, dash, turn on when I turn this car on.
Here's another great example of me running a car into the ground is that I had a Neon. So this was more recent. It was in the 2000s, but a Neon where the brakes stopped working. So I drove it for 6 more months just using the handbrake.
Oh.
It worked fine. It had a pull-up lever, emergency brake, and so as long as I use it for commuting from Middleton to the Westtown Mall. So I was driving it like 5 miles a day, and I'm like, you know what? This thing just needs to last like a few more paychecks so I can get a decent car. And so, yeah, I drove that fucker just pulling on the handbrake.
See, we'll endure that kind of shit, but I still know people who don't have their own fucking car, and it drives me goddamn insane. I can't handle people who don't have their own car. If someone calls me and is like, hey, Brian, I need a ride, my car broke, or X problem happened, I will usually 90% go out of my way to help them. But I know people who just don't buy a car because they're like, well, we have one car for two of us, and that works just fine. And I'm like, fuck you, it doesn't work just fine. It never does.
It works fine. If it worked fine, they wouldn't be asking you for a ride.
Exactly. And there's sometimes a small window where that's, if it's an exception to the rule where something happened, you're out of a car for 2 weeks, but when that's a permanent situation for years, you just, like, well, I don't want to buy a second car. Well, you look at this fucking hobby shit you have. If my car broke, I would sell everything I owned to get whatever it took to get a car immediately. Because
you can get a car for like $300.
Yeah, if you
go on Craigslist and get a pile of shit. Yeah. I bought a car for like $200 that had been painted with house paint.
Yeah,
you can go to Madison Cars, the cars guys, Mad City Car Sales.
Yeah,
you go to them, and they can gouge you for a lot of money.
If you live in a city where the population has two commas. So, like New York, it's literally faster to walk across the city than it is to drive across the city. Correct. They've had races. If you live in New York and work in New York and never leave New York City for any reason, go ahead and not own a car.
Correct. Yeah.
Ditto London or, Seattle. Big city of your country.
Seattle, but if you the public live, transport.
if you live here, get a fucking car.
Yeah. Because they always, and then they ask you for a ride, and like, you're like, but you don't have a car. See, it's like, I don't want to give you a ride because you're an idiot. And it's hard to say that because you'll be offended by that. But you should know it. We all know it. Like, how do you not know you're an idiot? I mean, it's obvious you don't have a car and you're an adult. And you don't have a good reason for it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my rant about cars. But cars are expensive, Brian. Yeah, stop buying other shit.
Also, a word of advice, too, is if you're a riding passenger in a car with somebody else, and you see something that's about to happen, you should speak up and say that thing.
You should.
Immediately, as loud as possible.
Not whisper it.
Don't
whisper the problem.
Problem.
Like what?
Problem.
Right. Crash. Oh, stop sign.
Okay, then.
There was a time when I was skipping out of school. I was riding with Brian to go to Chimera Hobby Shop, I think.
Yep,
we
were a block away.
We were a block away from Chimera, and we're talking and just doing a thing. The stop sign was
something had happened to the sign, so it was a half. It was propped up on like some ply. I mean, it was there. It was where it was supposed to be, but it was half the size and lowered. And I just didn't see it. And we were a street down there where we normally go. For whatever reason, I turned early.
Yeah. I'm like, Brian, stop sign. Brian, stop sign. Brian, stop sign. What?
So we fly through. We just hit a tail end of another car. Luckily, there's a cop car literally on the stop sign right adjacent from to see the entire thing clearly, which was just hilarious. But again, I don't know what car I had then. It wasn't the Impala, but it was another American 80s metal Mia vehicle.
Right.
I think it was the Impala.
No, it wasn't, because it was a tan car, because that car died on me in winter when it was minus 30 and I was in the middle of nowhere.
Oh.
That car nearly killed me. It just broke.
The shopping cart car. Oh, God. There's somebody. We should turn into a podcast, a car podcast again.
Yes. We did hunt shopping carts a lot. For whatever reason, we just enjoyed the fuck out of going into a parking lot, turning off the lights, and just sneaking up on an inanimate object, and then flashing the lights on and just ramming it and seeing how far we can make it fly.
Yeah, all while playing Jurassic Park music.
Yeah. We would go in stealth mode. We would, skim. Drive by. Ooh, that's a good bad. There's some loaners out there. Come to the parking lot. Turn off the car lights. Sneak up to the shopping cart. flash on the lights and just rammed into it. I blew like a headlight once doing that. It was just all sorts of nonsense. I almost got fired from my job doing that once.
Just ramming shit.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. If you hit it just right, it would fly, hit like a curb, and then just fucking fly into the air and just start somersaulting over itself and just crashing down.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
There's a special place over in I think it was Fond du Lac, that it was a Target parking lot that had like a gigantic ditch before there was another parking lot, and so we would send them flying into that ditch.
Yeah, just small town fun made easy
before Jackass existed.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank Jackass. God nobody was riding any of the shopping carts.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get to that level.
Yeah.
Oh man, it was dumb fun.
I don't think I was working at Walmart yet at the time when you got called in for.
we worked third shift. I swear I told the story once. Third shift. And we came back one night, and it was really foggy out. And for whatever, normally when Walmart closed a second shift, someone would put all the shopping carts away.
Sure.
But for whatever reason, nobody did it this night. So we're coming into work, and it's just filled. I'm like, well, fuck it. I just accelerated and flew through the parking lot at full speed, just hitting like 30 shopping carts. And I park and go to work. I come in the next day, like, Brian, can you come back here for a minute? And they're like, they thought it was somebody else. They were like ready to yell at it and get someone else in trouble. They're showing me the video. And there's my car in like the, one frame every 5 seconds. So you see the car moving and suddenly it's carts here. And then it cuts forward another like three. Because it's terrible footage, but it's just enough to see this car that they can't quite identify just destroy the parking lot. Well, yeah, that was me. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Sometimes they just ram shopping carts.
So I got sent home with a... go home. It's a 1 day suspension with pay. Think about what you did and come in tomorrow and we'll have a talk about it. And the guy who came with me, like, well, you should go home too. You're not suspended, but you came with him, so we know you probably work in a bad attitude. So you go home with pay too. He's like, okay. So we just go home. I come in the next day and I apologize. I was very humble. I got promoted like 6 months later to like a department manager.
And then you rammed every shopping cart in the parking lot.
Well, I was a very good employee, and they were very confused that I just decided to just destroy a quarry. A bunch of their, like, you know, each of those shopping carts are like $1,300 and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't believe you. But
I don't care.
Yeah. But no, I was very humble, and I know how to play the game in companies and works.
This day and age, you can't do that anymore.
No.
It's too good of cameras.
Yeah. They were so ready to blame. I can't think of what's the one guy's name, but they were so ready to.
Is it Kyle?
Yeah, I think it was Kyle. They were ready to blame him on all of it. I couldn't even. Yeah, that was Kyle did it. He was like, I didn't do anything. And he was just a troublemaker. So yeah, I could have just. But I saw the videos and started laughing in front of them because I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, can I keep a copy of this? this is some prime shit right here.
Zappity.
Crumble. Now we don't have any more Zappity Grumbles, so we're off to recommendations.
Recommendations. I have a generic recommendation. I've been, obviously, I think it's general to say people like to watch comedy shows, like the comedy specials occasionally on Netflix or whatever, HBO. I've seen two lately that I thought stood out more than others. T.J. Miller's came out last night. And that was pretty hilarious. T.J. Miller is just funny as fuck.
Who you might recognize as the friend in Deadpool.
Yes, or also he is
the one good part of Urlock. Transformers 17.
He's Urlocker in what's the show called?
Urlock.
Urlock. Yeah, I can't.
Urlock. Actually, it's Urlock. Urlocker. It's Urlock. He's not a linebacker for
Silicon Valley.
The Bears.
So his comedy special was on last night. It's just hilarious. And Hasan Minhaj, which I'm terrible with names, and I know it's an Arab name. I'm not being racist or terrible. I'm just
Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah, I said it right almost, didn't I?
Almost.
Oh, I was close. I'm just. Terrible with names.
Sure.
His special was probably the best comedy special I've seen in a while. I mean, T.J. Miller's was fun, but Hasan's was just stellar.
He's one of the reporters on the Daily Show.
He used to be a Daily Show, and he tells like it's almost an hour long. It's a comedy special, but he just tells stories about his life for an hour and a half, and it's so good. And that's, I think that's one of the best comedy specials I've seen.
Did you ever watch that Mike Birbiglia one I mentioned like 4 years ago? The My Girlfriend's Boyfriend?
I have watched a bunch of his stuff. I don't know if I saw that particular one, but I have been watching a lot of his comedy specials. Some of his really, really old stuff I don't like as much as his newer stuff, but he's hilarious.
Yeah. But Hasan Minhaj.
Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is amazing. I think it's probably the best I've seen. But Mike Bigley is fucking hilarious too. So I can't diss him, but I can diss his name because it's got too many B's in it.
Birbiglia. Yep, that's it exactly. Every letter is a B. It's just B-b-b-b-b-b-b.
He is funny as fuck. I don't know if it was either that episode or another. I mean, I did see a couple of specials, and one of them blew my mind. And maybe it was that particular one. But you did mention him, and I can't remember all the specials I watched.
The big finale in this was him talk about he got hit by a drunk driver, and the cop filling out the form filled it out wrong. And so the according to the form, he had teleported into the other car and hit himself because the form had him driving both vehicles. And so then the cop refused to admit that he filled it out wrong. So the cop was yelling at him for refusing to pay a fine for hitting himself while drunk driving in a different car than the car that he was driving. And there's a whole thing about that. And he brings out like a laser pointer and a big display of the forms on the
And it's his tone and he's
telling stories, right? Yeah, just so dry. But I'll just say Hasan Chop.
Yeah, Hasan and TJ Miller are both. Hasan, if you only have to watch one, I would recommend the Hasan one, but TJ Miller's fucking ridiculous too. He's just fucking. He's like a laid back ridiculous, which is I think is part of his charm. Mm-hmm. He's like middle America ridiculous kind of.
He's the pothead that you've always known.
Yeah, he's just.
He's a functioning pothead.
Yeah.
I didn't mean no insult to any of the other potheads out there, but you know,
the Hasan's one is almost educational in some ways. It's hilarious, educational, and almost and sometimes sad and amazing. It's like it's a very emotional episode.
Have you actually ever taken a listen to any of the Henry Rollins spoken words?
A little bit. I like it, but I also hate it. And it doesn't make any sense. Henry Rollins' spoken word is very fascinating. He's exceptional.
They're not comedy shows.
No, and I know that's fine. I mean, he says a lot of very interesting points, but something about it rubs me the wrong way a little bit. But I do appreciate it for what it is, and I think he's very well spoken. But sometimes it bugs me.
My favorite Henry Rollins bit is still him talking about going to the ping pong ball sex show in Thailand.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this one, Andy, but yeah, he goes to one of those stereotypical, you know, ladies showing shoving ping pong balls and shooting them out and just all this debauchery and stuff. He's like, I wonder if Thailand is as debauched as they say. So he goes to one of these shows and all these terrible things are happening on stage and it's in a round. So it's this round stage with people sitting on all sides of it. And as he's watching this thing, he glances past and he sees somebody on the opposite side of the stage and they meet eyes. And he sees the thought process as the guy is like, oh my God, it's Henry Rollins. That's Henry Rollins. Oh my God, I'm going to tell all my friends that I saw Henry Rollins. And they're going to ask where. And then he just is downcast because he knows that he can never tell anyone that he saw Henry Rollins. And they'll just cycle.
You got to think the percentage of people who go to those shows tell everyone about those shows.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, you know, at line at a Walgreens. Hey, I was in Thailand watching a sex show.
Yep.
Or in church. Hey, guess what I did last week? Oh, wait. Never mind, you know. But that's good stuff. That's my recommendation. Watch people that make you laugh.
Right. I've been thinking of recommending this for like 2 years and what?
Can I go quick?
If you want. Mine's not exciting, but you can go.
Mine's not really exciting.
Okay.
If you're going to take a nap, don't nap wrong. Do not nap wrong. Naps are great. Naps are awesome. I love sleeping. So fun. But don't nap wrong because now my arm doesn't work.
Yep. And the older you get, the more likely your arm's just never going to work again.
Yeah.
You pinched a nerve. They don't bother fixing that now.
Like I slept on my shoulder wrong and I was feeling good all day and then I took Nate out for his belated birthday dinner and the whole time I was like, I can't eat. My arm hurts so much.
So funny thing about Nate, that's good advice. Nate's birthday was last week and he went to Outback Steakhouse for his birthday. And I knew it was for his birthday, but it was a time I just couldn't go. I had things going on. It was a bad time for me to go. But you invited like the Shays and some other people, and they're like, well, they had no concept it was for your birthday. They just thought you were going out. I was like, well, it's a random day.
I asked Katie, like, hey, you want to come for dinner? And Katie's like, we're trying not to eat out.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, like, so then they realized it was all for the birthday. Then everyone's like, oh, it was his birthday. We would have went. Like, I was the only one who was like, no, I don't care. It's your birthday. I'm not going anyway. But everyone else who didn't go, which was everyone,
yeah,
didn't know what the birthday would have went. But I just couldn't do it. And I would have, you know. But and Andy was nice, went out with him today. And of course, Andy's like, you want to go to Chili's? And I'm like, not really. Doesn't say, oh, I'm taking it because take Nate out for his birthday. So that part also was left out.
Yeah, it's fine.
I figured, and I told Nate, I said that it was for Nate's thing, yeah. And you said no.
Yeah, no, I
knew. And he was like, you were like, I'll go to Chili's, and you're like, yeah, Nate will be there, and you said, never mind.
Yeah, he said, when Andy says, do you want to go to Chili's, 99% of the times it means him and Jim are doing something to get food, and they're just inviting someone along, which is fine. I just figured it was you and Jim going to Chili's. But I had just eaten a little before that, so I was like,
it's a Sunday. It's Jim's court order time with Keith.
Oh, yes, it is. But yeah, I think it's they role play on Sundays, and they love Marshall's campaign.
I was going to say, that just made it sound really weird.
Yeah.
I made it sound weird, then you made it sound weird as well.
Yeah.
Court ordered role playing.
Yeah.
The sexual style.
Hey, they enjoy it.
I mean, Marshall's campaign.
Yeah. Yep, he tells them what to do.
They happily do it.
I mean, the last time I played in a campaign run by Marshall, my character was a gobber who distracted enemies by meat spinning. So you're not far off.
Yeah.
Anyway,
don't go to meatspin.com.
Oh, do go to meatspin.com.
No, don't.
No, I don't like seeing things.
That's like true. I've built up an immunity.
Well, I believe that.
It's like, because like that's nothing compared to shit like Tub Girl, you know.
When I don't know, there's things where it's like, hey, that sounds like it's gonna be awful, and yeah, that and I just kind of avoid the truly awful.
Like, something awful. You avoid the something awful forums. There's a lot
of truly awful things I've
he
not.
He can't
seen.
Figure out how to use the something awful forums, and it just flabbergasts because he's like, I need one topic per thread, and I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? I can go into the TVIV forum. There is a thread for every single season of every single television show that has ever existed. More parsed out do you
what
need?
What I usually see in a forum is if I go to BoardGameGeek, I will pick out a game. That game has a set of forums. One forum is for rules questions. One forum is for general thoughts. One forum is for homemade things. One forum is for this. So one game has like seven sub-forums where BoardGameGeek is there's one thread for awful. All... Something awful. There's one board... I thought it was like one board game thread for all board games, all variables of all board games. So basically it's like... And you just like have to like
crap
constantly...
Shoot.
Like Five Fingers. It's like they have a, you know, war machine.
Yeah, no. Okay.
That's what I thought. I thought it was more like that where...
They don't parse it out, but like there was a review thread, and we all just talked about review as it aired, and then when it's done, it was, you know, that.
Yeah, I thought it was more of TV, and then it just rotates between everything TV, and then it's just like one massive thread of that.
And there's so many fucking threads. There like I showed you, there's a thread that's literally just for following Kickstarters for board games. Yeah. One of the threads that I have starred so that I always get updates on it is the post your favorite raccoons thread. And the whole thread's just people putting pictures and videos of raccoons. It's great. If you have a bad day, you go to that thread and you see raccoons being fat and cute.
I'm not in many forums. I'm part of a Reddit Star Wars Galaxy forum, but that's it. And I need more forums in my life.
Anyway, because I mentioned it for some reason this episode, and I've been thinking about rewatching it because it's been a while. So I watched the new MST3K, and that had Felicia Day on it. And I'm like, Felicia Day, I kind of like her, but I've never, you know, like I never watched The Guild or any of that shit. But I was like, you know what? I'll rewatch Legend of Neil. And so I kept meaning to talk about it, and I happened to bring it up this episode. So I'm gonna recommend Legend of Neil.
Sweet.
I've seen that because I remember her playing that character. I also think The Guild's kind of funny. Not like
Guild might be good. I just never got around to watching it because I didn't play World of Warcraft, and so I wasn't sure how much of the jokes I would get.
Well, it's on like HBO. I think it's on like Netflix.
It's
short. I mean, it's not mind-blowingly good. But
is Barker is that the guy from the Guild?
No, he's from Price is Right.
No.
He is
from Silicon Valley.
Like, decades.
Is there someone from Silicon Valley on?
have to look it up now. No, it's Parker, the guy who took over Hooli.
No.
The only thing I know about the guild, though, is that the last Gen Con I was at, they had the autograph thing, yeah. and you waited in line for 50 hours, and there was there was three stations at the table. Well, not really. There was like six people sitting at the table. The last one was Wil Wheaton.
Yeah.
The second to last one was Felicia Day. And then before her was everybody else in the guild.
Yeah.
And every person would wait in line for an hour, walk past all of those people to get Felicia Day's autograph, yeah. and then Wil Wheaton's and leave. Like, yeah. nobody bothered to stop yeah. for the rest of the people. Which had, for those people, that has to be so demoralizing.
I could see one or two people stopping once. But yeah, you're, and that happens every year at those autograph booths. They put, like, such ridiculous people next to other people. I will say the only time I've seen a C-list celebrity do good is when they had that Who Wants to Be a Superhero show, and they had like the winner of that there, and he was like so charismatic and good. Like he was pulling people to him that were there for other like B-list celebrities. Like he was C-list and he was pulling people from the B-list because of his like just genuinely happiness of being there. And he was, because you walk by those autograph booths and some of those people look like they were paid money to be there and they're doing their job, but they look fucking miserable.
Yeah.
And maybe they tried to hide it day one, but on day three they're like, I've made a terrible mistake. One out of 100 people stop by me. They all go to the guy next to me. This is terrible. I hate everything about life.
Yep.
But this guy was all like, woohoo, 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 like the entire time, and just like all giddy. And every time he walked by, he just had this insane gathering of folk. It was just weird. But he had fun.
Good. Good for him.
All right.
Yeah, that's Legend of Neil. That's what I'm going with. Eat a dick.
Okay. You should watch Legend of the Neil.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching, and thank our Patreons, so you see them in the credits here.
And a special 10-minute video just for them later.
Oh, yes.
Just kidding. Ha, suck
with
it.
All kinds of special effects. Andy's going to try to out special effects Jeremy. You put my face on the monsters instead of put the Gary Busey heads on my body, but in that scene. I'll do the motions, and then I want you to replace the monster bodies with my body, but still have the Gary Busey head and the original background.
We still need to do a Crippled System Banner of the Bold.
Sure. Yeah.
It will not get done.
It's like 1 year and a week old. It was June 12th of last year. I know because I had a Facebook memory of me posting it.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.